Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Thursday, July 16th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you all had a glorious Wednesday. We are officially the second half of the week here. Tomorrow's Friday. Got one more weekend, and then all of a sudden, we're getting closer and closer to Eagles training camp. So if you're listening to this before 10 a.m., go check out WIP's morning show. I mean, you should listen to it every morning, obviously, but this morning, it's a Go Birds morning show takeover as me, James Seltzer, I'm not sure who the third with us, probably Rhea, hopefully Rhea, Rhea's a goat, we'll be doing the morning show from 6 to 10 a.m. I'm sure we'll be talking plenty of Eagles as the Phillies don't play tonight, and the All-Star game kind of in the past now. All-Star game night festivities weren't outstanding, I would say, or the festivities, that's not fair. The game was boring. I would say that the Sandlot thing they did was super, super cool. There was some cool, like, pomp and circumstance. I feel like that was the song, like pageantry stuff that they did. But the game kind of a bore. So my guess is we'll be talking plenty of Eagles this morning on the WIP morning show. But until then, let's start your morning how you do every day with a little Go Birds Daily. So first, make sure you go check out Go Birds Insider. The link is in the podcast description. This week, here's a good example of how they kind of complement each other, right? So this week on the pod, we've been doing a lot of previewing opposing teams. We did the Cowboys, the Giants, and Washington. And on the pod, we've done it. And then complement to it, I've been doing some of that in the Go Birds Daily as well with some extra things in there, extra notes, extra thoughts. So good example of how they can complement each other at times. But other days like today, they'll probably be completely different. So today's kind of a empty the notebook day. Today, we're just going to go through a bunch of links I've collected over the past week, different thoughts on different things that I haven't really been able to get to. And we will start with the headline that really grabbed my attention, right? And I love a good attention grabbing headline when I'm scrolling Twitter. Get it, click it, read it, love it. So John McMullen of Sports Illustrated, John McMullen, of course, covers the Eagles, wrote an article and found a quote here that is pretty interesting and I think leads to a larger discussion about the Eagles' offensive line and if they've hired the right guy in Chris Cooper. Now, to be clear, we won't know if they've hired the right guy for at least a year, right? Like, look, if it's really going good or bad midway through the year, maybe you'll have a good idea. But it's his first year with the guys, first year running a new scheme. Like, I think, you know, it could take a year or two, and we'll see if he gets 2 years, right? Like, the Eagles have shown they're pretty quick when it comes to pulling coaches that they don't think that can do the job. But the article by John McMullen highlights some quotes in there from Ed Ingram. So Ed Ingram is a former Vikings offensive lineman who played under Chris Cooper in Minnesota for 3 years and then went to the Houston Texans last year. So Ed Ingram, second round pick from the Vikings in 2022. And he is someone, obviously, as a second round pick, you would hope that you're signing to an extension, right? And you would hope that you develop into a really good player, like a long-term starter for you. The Eagles have done it with Landon. They've done it with Cam Jurgens. And then if you want to move off the offensive line, they've obviously done it with Jalen Hurts and, you know, a number of other second round picks since Howie 2.0 took over. And a key to their development, especially along the offensive line, when we talk about Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens, has been the job Jeff Stoutland has done developing them, right? Like all those Stoutland University shirts and hoodies you see the players wearing or people on the street wearing, like that's where it comes from, right? Like he is really, really good at developing talent. And it'll be key for Chris Cooper to be able to develop talent because you look at the Eagles' offensive line right now, Lane Johnson, maybe his last year, right? I guess you can never say never, but it seems like it'll be his last year. You know, Landon Dickerson seems to be contemplating retirement at some level, so maybe there's going to be a replacement there soon. Tyler Steen's a free agent after the year. Cam Jurgens, I think, is in a different boat than Landon, but a similar boat in the way that he is overcoming physical issues last year that could be long-term, and who knows if he'll ever be able to return to the same player. Now, as I said when we talked to Cam Jurgens earlier this offseason, he seems in a much, much better place than he was last year physically, and I think as a result, a much better place mentally. So I feel positive about Cam Jurgens. Landon's a little more up in the air, but regardless, you go through the offensive line, and you can see why there would be a need for somebody that specialty, frankly, is development, especially along the among the backups, which we'll get to in a second. So a concern with Chris Cooper, and we talked about this when they hired him, was his ability to develop. You look at in Minnesota, what happened, right? Christian Darrisaw was a success. But outside of that, Garrett Bradbury, not so much. Will Freeze, not so much. And then there's Ed Ingram. So like I said, Ed Ingram was a second round pick in 2022, had 3 years with the Texans, and did not play well enough to get re-signed. Now, did get a decent contract as a free agent, but didn't play well enough to get re-signed in Minnesota, and mostly then went, not even mostly, but the key here is went to Houston last year and had a really good year. So how much better was he? If you look in 2022, now this is your Pro Football Focus grade, so you can take them for what you think they're worth. I really value them. In 2022, rookie year, he was a 57 out of 100, right? 2023, a 59. 2024, 54. 2025, he goes to Houston, he's a 73. So what was the big difference, right? Why did he have so much more success in Houston than he did in Minnesota? So in the article, John McMullen highlights quotes from Aaron Wilson, longtime NFL reporter. He now works for KPCR, which I believe is a radio station or a TV station. But he talks to Ed Ingram, and here's what Ed Ingram had to say. He said, quote, "I came here, I excelled. Shout out to Texans offensive line coach Cole Popovich. He never let me get complacent and he always challenged me. Personally, I've always thought I'm a great player. All I need is the right person to help me. Coming here was probably the best thing to ever happen to me in my career," end quote. So he doesn't name Chris Cooper by name, but you read between the lines there. He knew he could be a great player. He needed somebody to challenge him. He needed someone to not let him get complacent, right? And he needed the right person to help him. What do you think that means, right? Now, could he be talking about Kevin O'Connell? Could he be talking about an assistant offensive line coach? Could he be talking about the offensive coordinator? Sure. But when you're an offensive lineman and you struggle in your career and then you go somewhere else and you talk about how at this new place, you can't be complacent. This person challenges me. I needed the right person. I think that's noteworthy. When players come from another team to the Eagles and talk about how much better it is and, you know, how much they love it here, like, I know that's not a direct shot at the last place, but it kind of is. I mean, it would be like if you got a new partner and, you know, when you're talking about the new partner, you go, "I've just always wanted somebody that did X," or "I've always felt that I needed somebody that needed this quality." Well, normally those are qualities your ex-partner don't have, right? So when Ed Ingram talks like that, it's concerning. Now, when we met Chris Cooper earlier this offseason, I thought, and we talked about this, like he did come across cold is maybe not the right word, but you compare him to Stoutland, who was so emotional and who was so like caring, I guess, for lack of a better term, and how Jordan Mailata called him, I think it was Papa was his nickname, and, you know, Kelsey and Lane and all these guys cry when they talk about him, to the difference of Chris Cooper, I can see just from the one interaction how, like, there is a big difference between Stoutland and Cooper. Maybe that's not a bad thing, right? Maybe some players that struggled last year under Stoutland will improve under Cooper. But what's key is Cooper's going to have to develop, because this stat, I think, is very telling as to the chances that a backup will play. So this is a chart via fantasy points, and it breaks down essentially how often a team last year had their starting five offensive linemen together. So number one on that list is, shockingly, the Jets, who got their offensive line to play together for just under 96% of the snaps. Last on that list, the Los Angeles Chargers, who got their starting offensive linemen, all five of them, to play together for just 16% of the snaps. So obviously that's a massive difference between first and last. The Jets getting good, you know, getting their offensive linemen to play all year and still being trash is pretty shocking. But so for the Chargers, you can see how they might struggle, right, with a bad offensive line. The Eagles were pretty much right in the middle. The Eagles got 41% of their snaps last year from the starting five offensive linemen. And obviously, Dickerson missed a game. I believe Cam missed a game or two, if I remember correctly. And then Lane missed quite a bit of time. So last year, the starting five offensive linemen, like, as much as we break down going into this year, well, the starting five has a ton of talent. And when people rank the offensive lines around the league, they often put the Eagles high up. And they do that because of the talent in the starting five. Well, the reality is that starting five is not going to play all the snaps together. If you look at this list even deeper, only three teams played over 70%, or four teams played over 70% of the snaps together. Majority of the teams were in the 50s or lower. So they are going to have to play off backup offensive linemen next year. Well, and they had to do it last year. Well, you look at their backup offensive lineman. Drew Kendall's in his second year. Markell Bell is a rookie, right? Michael Jordan has played, but hasn't played very well throughout his career. Fred Johnson, veteran backup. Like, you just, you know, Cameron Williams, the offensive tackle out of Texas, they're still developing. Micah Morris, the young guard out of Georgia. It's a lot of unproven players. So Chris Cooper, during this offseason, and then obviously going into next year, are going to have to develop these guys to get ready to play. Now, they've, you know, Drew Kendall's had a year with Stoutland. Cameron Williams has had a year with Stoutland. So he, obviously, Stoutland holds some responsibility for where they're at in their development as well. But when you hear Ed Ingram talk so glowingly about his new offensive line coach, and you look at the stark difference in how he played with Minnesota versus how he played with Houston, I think there is something to be concerned about there. So we will see what happens, right? We will have training camp to watch them. Now, it's tough to watch them at practice sometimes just because they're always wearing pads and your eye level, and as we've talked about. But these preseason games, watching how these offensive linemen develop and how they play will be absolutely huge. And it's, frankly, it's not really even just about the backups, right? It's also about developing the starters into learning this new system. How is he teaching this system? How is it coming along? How is he correcting mistakes? How is he, in terms of feeling, the players feeling he is approachable, right? So Chris Cooper is maybe a more important coach this year than Sean Mannion is. I think they're probably equally important, but man, Chris Cooper and his development to take these young backup offensive linemen, take the starting offensive linemen, and make them into better versions of themselves, which Jeff Stoutland did quite frequently, is going to be absolutely huge in the Eagles and how good they will be this year. All right. On the other side, Tom Brady had something to say about receivers. And as you might imagine, this turned into a fight online with amongst Eagles fans about AJ Brown. So we'll get into that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
It's a hard thing. Like, they're working hard to get the ball and they don't get it. So they get frustrated so easy. And I almost think, like, when I see these NFL off seasons, I think, I swear to God, I think now, like, this is just deja vu. I've been seeing the same since 2000 when I came into the league. You know, this guy gets in trouble. He's arrested. This guy gets cut. This guy gets traded. This guy's unhappy at receiver. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like Real Housewives of the NFL. And it's like, it's the same script. And it's like over. And we just, that position, it's like, I almost want to, like, the psychology of receiver, I almost want to say, like, you're going to.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're.
Yeah.
Buying a car online on Auto Trader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keith.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on Auto Trader. Really.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
I catch 110 balls this year. Okay, you're 17 games. You're a great receiver. You're going to catch 110 balls. One game, you're going to get 11, and one game, you're going to get three. And the next game, you're probably going to get 11, then you're going to get three. I can't have you like the happiest guy in the world when you catch 11 or the most miserable guy on the team when you catch three. We got to look at it over the course of the year. You got to sustain, because it is a lot of emotional energy that you put out to that position to go, come on, we got it. Come on, stay locked in. Let's go. Cause I need you. Come on. And it's like that position takes away. If you have that volatile emotional output, it takes a lot of energy from a lot of people to keep that player really stable.
All right. So Tom Brady was recently on the New Heights podcast. Tom Brady, of course, a great player. That's not what I was going to say. Turned into a very good announcer. Like, I always thought he was better than people gave him credit for his quote-unquote rookie year, but I think he's turned into a really, really good announcer, and he does an awesome job, breaking things down. I think he's become really good at taking his own experiences and turning them into stories to relate to new players. So he was recently on the New Heights podcast with Jason Kelce and Travis Swift Kelce. We'll see what they do with the name. And on it, he talked about managing receivers and just like the difficulty of when you have a guy that is frustrated at the receiver position. And before I give you any of my thoughts, I'm going to play it and you can formulate your own thoughts on what you think. So here is Tom Brady on the New Heights pod. It's a little long, talking about receivers. So I thought a lot of that is, well, I agreed with all of it in there, to be fair. I thought his part about how some weeks you're going to catch seven, then you're going to catch one, then you're going to catch eight, then you're going to catch two. That's something Nick Sirianni has said a lot, right? There have been weeks where I remember the first game A.J. Brown played against the Lions, Devontae had no catches, right? And the next week, Devontae had a big game. And Nick's always kind of highlighted that, right? And one of the biggest things Nick's had to do as a head coach is manage the fact that there's so many weapons on the team and they're not always going to have good weeks. So you hear Tom Brady talk about how it's important to manage the personalities that way. The other thing that he talks about in there is how he understands the frustration of these receivers, right? Like, I thought it was noteworthy. He said, they're 25 yards or whatever from the ball lined up on the outside. They are not in the huddle. They're in the huddle. They're not in the middle of the field, right? Offensive linemen, they're blocking every single play. Running backs, they're involved to some degree, right? Like, tight ends, either they're catching or they're running. Like, Tom Brady, essentially, as you heard him say probably better than I just did, they feel involved in every play. Receivers run 50, 60 routes a game or whatever, right? Now there's some running plays in there. And they only get the ball, five, six times, right? So I think he is dead correct that when you are a receiver, there is a level of frustration you probably don't feel as a tight end or a running back. Now, this quote online, and maybe I'm reacting too much online like I normally do, but online turned into basically, Tom Brady called out AJ. Here's Tom Brady saying how soft AJ was. Different words that I won't say on the pod, right? About how what people think Tom Brady called AJ. It's so interesting how people can listen to the exact same clip and hear completely different things. And as much as I'll say that the people that thought he was taking a shot at AJ probably wanted him to say that, there's maybe some truth too that what I want him to say, because I don't think AJ was a bad teammate, maybe I'm like projecting there too, right? So, you know, I think we can also, to a certain degree, just take what Tom Brady says for his word, which is he understands how AJ felt. Like, that's what he says at the end of the clip. He basically says, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it written down directly in front of me, but he's basically like, I understand how AJ felt. I covered those games, right? And Kelsey agrees. And Kelsey has said that he understands AJ's frustration. And then he says he thinks in New England, he'll be less frustrated because they have a better passing game. At least they did. They did last year. We'll see if they have one, a better one this year. So the reason I found this interesting was I've always thought throughout this whole AJ thing that, you know, I completely understood his frustration. And I understand Devontae's frustration, even if he doesn't show it to the same degree as AJ did. And I would understand Dallas Goedert being frustrated. Saquon, I don't think has any right to be frustrated. He gets the ball quite a bit. But I've understood their frustrations, right? Like, they work all offseason. They work during training camp. They work during the week. Like, they want the ball. They want to be able to show what they're doing is working. Offensive linemen don't have to worry about anything like that. Saquon doesn't have to worry about anything like that. Jalen doesn't have to worry about that, right? Like, they're going to get their chance to show the work that they've done and pay off. The receivers and the tight end with Goddard are much more dependent on other players. So when Tom Brady is talking about managing the personality of things, I think what he's saying is he understands the feeling, right? It's about the people around him managing it better. So did AJ handle it perfectly with the Eagles? Obviously not. Especially last year, he handled it poorly, right? Like, he let it get the best of him, his frustration. But when people listened to this and were critical of AJ, I actually had a much different take. If I think anybody's, like, he's criticizing anybody here, I think the argument is the people around AJ. Nick Sirianni, right? Like, I think Nick, for the most part, during his 5 years, in fact, for the vast majority of his 5 years with AJ and Devontae and all that, have done an excellent job managing the personalities. There's been, you know, things between AJ and Jalen, obviously, which is trickier for Nick to manage, but there haven't been a ton of outbursts from AJ prior to 2025. It's really just last year when I think frustrations finally boiled over and he was, you know, he was just done, right? And I think Nick deserves blame for that. Like, if you talk about what if you kind of listen to what Tom Brady's saying, he's saying that these are what all receivers are. They all feel this way. AJ's not unique in it. Where AJ is a bit unique is how he allowed himself to handle it. But the frustration is the same with every player, right? Like, this perception that Devontae doesn't care about stats. Devontae just wants to win. Like, I'm not even taking a shot at Devontae. I'm just saying people are projecting who they want Devontae to be compared to who they wish AJ was. But Devontae and AJ are 95% the same person, I think, at least, and how they feel about things. So when Tom Brady talks about he understands how he feels, and Jason Kelsey agrees with that, my takeaway is, well, every team deals with this, right? It's really just this situation that got out of control with AJ. And I think the people around him deserve blame for that. I think Nick deserves blame for it. I think Jalen deserves blame for it. To be clear, I think AJ deserves blame for it. But I just think ultimately, if you listen to that Tom Brady quote and you think he's just like ripping into AJ, I think you're missing the point of what he had to say. But again, maybe each of us is just hearing what we want to hear. All right. Finally, I thought this chart was interesting when we talk about the Eagles, how they've played, and all those things. So this chart is via Stick to the Model Twitter account. You should go follow them. And it takes a look, It takes a look at quarterback play over the past few years. This is since 2023, this chart. And basically what they look at is EPA per attempt versus yards per attempt, right? So I think we're slowly becoming an EPA podcast, by the way. So basically it's a chart and you want to be in the top right corner and you don't want to be in the bottom left corner. And what I found interesting about this was if you look at where Patrick Mahomes is. So Patrick Mahomes, since 2023, using EPA per attempt and yards per attempt, is middle of the pack. Middle of the pack. Like, quarterbacks that, according to this, have played better than him. Matthew Stafford, Jaden Daniels in the 1 year he played. Dak Prescott, Sam Darnold last year. Brock Purdy, Lamar Jackson, Drake May, Jared Goff. Can't remember if I said Josh Allen. Jordan Love, like CJ Stroud, right? Arguably better than, he's close to it, right? You look at the quarterbacks that Mahomes is around in this chart, right? Jacoby Brissett, Caleb Williams, Kyler Murray, Justin Fields. Like, sorry, that's a different cluster. My apologies, I misread it. Basically, though, the point I'm making is this. Is that Patrick Mahomes, we all know, is a great quarterback, right? And by the way, a quarterback that's been better than Mahomes, according to this chart, Jalen Hurts. So when you look at how the Eagles offense has looked over the past few years, and I've made this point, I think, but I want to kind of drive it home with this, is each team is dealing with different things, right? Like, we view this all points per game as if they're all going up against the same battle. They're going up against different opponents. They're carrying different expectations that impact how they play, right? So not all points per game are equal. Like, there is an argument that a team averaging 28 points per game is more impressive than a team averaging 31 if you take into account the circumstances. But that's a discussion for a different day. The point I'm making about this is we all know Patrick Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. We saw this, like, this, just, you know, earlier this week when we talked about the quarterback rankings of where Jalen was, that Mahomes is still, I think he was second on that list behind Josh Allen. So people still agree Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. But the stats in the EPA, right, and all that show that since 2023, there's plenty of quarterbacks that have played better than Patrick Mahomes. The difference is of why we still give Mahomes that credit is because he's going to Super Bowls and he's winning Super Bowls. And last year, that didn't happen. But the year before, he went to Super Bowl and lost it. The year before, in 2023, he went to the Super Bowl and won it. And when you are going to the Super Bowl every year like Mahomes is, and when you are going deep into the playoffs every year like Mahomes is, besides last year, it becomes harder and harder to be a great player during the regular season. The Chiefs, like we all agreed leading up to that Super Bowl, didn't look great in 2024. But they got all the way to the Super Bowl. Now, they ran into an absolute buzzsaw with the Eagles. But that year, they still made it out the AFC despite the fact they didn't play great, inspiring football. And in 2023, they didn't look outstanding either. So, like, it's been a while since the Chiefs have looked awesome. But Mahomes is still considered the second best quarterback in the league. Now, I'm not comparing Jalen to Mahomes straight up because I do think Mahomes is a more talented quarterback than Jalen is. And he's had a better career than Jalen has. But a similarity they have is from really 2022, 23, 24 for Jalen, 25, they have had deep playoff runs, right? Jalen did it twice. They've won double-digit games every single year. Like, when you have that level of success and you have to continue it on, I think that it just becomes harder and harder to be great. So I think it's unfair, frankly, that Mahomes gets to be number two when he did not have a good 2025. He did not have a good 2024 regular season, and like statistically, right? But he obviously still had a good year in the fact that they went to the Super Bowl. It's just Jalen doesn't get that same kind of benefit. So, you know, Brock Purdy, I don't think anyone would say Brock Purdy has had a better last 3 years than Mahomes has. But according to this, he has. I don't think anyone would say Jared Goff's had a better last 3 years than Patrick Mahomes has. But according to this, he has. So I just think that when we think about certain players like Mahomes, we think about him and go, obviously a great player. And he's earned that with his deep playoff runs. We don't do that for Jalen, even though I think they're kind of fighting against the same burden and the same tough expectation and the same problems that winning provides. All right. That'll do it for today's Daily Pod. Like I said, if you have a chance, go check out the morning show. Me and James, Go Birds Takeover. Got to hear from all of our real ones. Been too long. I know July has been a rough month with the radio show, but we love you all and we want to talk to you. So until next time, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.